Thank you, guys. You guys can grab your seats now. And I'm going to invite up our speaker for tonight. There he is, Mr. David Ross. Why don't we give him a hand? And I usually say this, but the first time I met him, or usually the first week after I met him, we were on a 9-hour road trip. And this was the awkward story where we were sitting in the car together, except I knew the driver, and we didn't know Dave too well because it was his first week interning. And we were in a car for 9 hours together. We spun out together. And now we're both interns.
We shared a near-death experience together, which was really good. Have you guys put up your hand if you have had a near-death experience? Jez, come and tell one of your near-death experiences, as long as they're appropriate and aren't going to inspire dangerous things. Is that true of any of your stories? Probably not. Never mind. Think of one. Shabby, how's your foot doing? Is it any better? It is? Cool. Oh my, was that true last Sunday? Cool. Do you think the prayer made a difference or did it just get better? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's true. Okay, guys, listen up. Listen up. Shh. 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 Is it, put up your hand if you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth before. Keep your hand up if you would like it if your last name was Wigglesworth. Belinda Wigglesworth? That actually works kind of well. That's strange. Okay, I'm going to tell a really cool story about Smith Wigglesworth, which you may or may not have heard before, but it's going to illustrate my point tonight. And I'm not going to talk for very long. I'm just going to talk for like 15, 20 minutes tonight. And then we're going to have small groups so you guys will get to talk to people and share your heart and we'll all pray together. So Smith Wigglesworth, can anyone tell me anything about him? I have to be a youth. Paolo. He's a famous evangelist, that's true. Anyone else know anything about Smith Wigglesworth? He was a famous evangelist. He was a plumber. He was a person, that's true. He had a cool last name. These things are all true. Yeah? Eusias? Huh? He's a man, that is also true. I'm going to expand on this a little bit with a story. Jez, one more. It's going to be silly. He kicked a baby. He did. That requires more explanation. The baby got healed after he kicked the baby, apparently. So I don't encourage you to do that, though. So there's a story about Smith Wigglesworth. God used him to start a huge revival in New Zealand, which completely transformed the country. Guys, God used Smith Wigglesworth to completely transform the nation of New Zealand. There's a story about Smith Wigglesworth, which was told in one of his biographies, where he was in a prayer meeting in New Zealand. He was praying for the nation. He was praying for revival to break out. As he started praying, basically one person would pray. It was a group of Christian leaders. Smith Wigglesworth was one of them. They would all start praying one after the other. And then eventually it got to Smith Wigglesworth. And he started praying. And as he did that, the holiness of God started coming into the room. As that happened, every leader, except for Smith Wigglesworth, one after the other, had to leave the room. They could no longer bear to be in the room. And that was said, it was because of the degree of their carnality. That was how quickly they had to leave. Carnality is opposite from God. So the sinful things you do, worldful things you do. So these guys were Christian leaders. They were good men. They loved Jesus. But Smith Wigglesworth, when he prayed, the holiness of God came into the room so powerfully that Christian men who loved Jesus couldn't even bear to be in the same room as him. So someone in New Zealand heard the story about him and was like, that sounds crazy. And he said to himself, I'm going to get in a prayer meeting like that with Smith Wigglesworth, and I will not leave that prayer. No matter what happens, I will not leave that prayer meeting. I will sit, and even if I die, I will stay in that prayer meeting. That situation actually happened. It was another prayer meeting, Smith Wigglesworth, other Christian leaders. This guy who had said that was in the room that time, one person prayed, one after the other, and then it got to Smith Wigglesworth, and the same thing happened. He prayed, and the holiness of God started coming to the room so strongly that one after the other, they started leaving. And then finally it got to the last guy, and he was there. He was trying his best to say, and he literally said, if I had stayed in that room any longer, I would have died. And all this guy did was pray. Can you guys fathom a level of separation unto God where you pray? Normal people can't even stay in the room with you when you pray. Can you guys imagine if you guys holding hands around the dinner table? Holding hands, Thanksgiving dinner. You start praying, and the holiness of God comes into the room so strongly people can't even stay at the table. Can you guys imagine that? That's a pretty intense story. Can you guys imagine how dedicated Smith Wigglesworth must have been personally to God? Can you guys fathom a level of commitment to Jesus where you're that separated to God that the holiness of God, you're able to stand it and other people aren't? I'm going to talk really quickly today about something which your leaders are going to expand on in small groups, and I want you guys to be really open about it. Tonight has been one of the most emotional nights for me in the last 2 years. Tonight has been a really intense night for me. Did anyone see me earlier on when I looked like I might kill you? I looked like that's never was going to happen. But I looked pretty intense earlier tonight, like I wasn't happy. Tiago knows. Sat down at my chair, he was like, oh, this guy's intense. I'm feeling much better now, but there is a reason why I was like that, and I'll explain that in a second. Who knows what the first and great commandment is? The first and great commandment of Jesus. John, do you know? Do you want to say it out loud? I do this to you a lot. Zoe, do you want to say it? You can say it, Zoe. I trust you. Okay, the first and great commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. A teacher of the law, someone who had studied the Bible for their whole life, came up to Jesus, who was God in a man, and said, what's the most important commandment? So if Jesus was God in a man, and someone asked him, what's the most important commandment? He was basically asking God, what is the most important thing for me to pay attention to? So basically, he asked God, what is the most important thing? What's the one thing I need to know? And God gave him an answer. If I told you guys you can ask God tonight what the most important thing of your life is, and he'd give you a definite response, do you guys think that would be cool? Would you guys be up for that? Like, ask God the most important thing. God, what is the most important thing in my life? And he gives you a straight answer. Both. So that question has already been answered for us. Matthew 22, 36 and 37. He says, God, Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And in another place it says, with all of your strength. This is the first and great commandment mean. This is the first and great commandment. What does the word first mean? Someone elaborate on that complex word for me. Number one, so it means there is nothing else before it. So it means that nothing comes before this. So he said this is the first commandment. That means in your life and in God's heart for you, nothing comes before you loving him. Have you guys ever felt, put up your hand if you've ever struggled with lack of self-worth. Has anyone in this room ever struggled with lack of self-worth? I have. Do you guys know that what God wants more than anything else is for you to love him? How much value does that give you? A lot is right. First, second one is great. The greatest thing you can ever do in your life. Anais, I have a revelation for you tonight. Okay, it's going to change your life. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? The greatest thing you can ever do with your life. I already know what it is. You already know what it is. The greatest thing you will ever do with your life is to love God with all that you are. Oh my goodness! By great, it means the greatest thing you can ever achieve, the greatest thing you can ever be, the biggest thing you can ever amount to in life is to become a lover of God, someone who loves God. And it also means that the greatest, the thing which God thinks is best, the most desirable thing to him is for you to love him. It is good. It's in the Bible. It's good. That's who you guys are. That's your identity, your ultimate calling in life, who you are. The answer to all of life's problems, literally, is who we are in God. So God said to me one time, you guys have probably, I know that John has, because I've said this in Ukraine a couple of times, but God gave me a prophetic word for a large group of other people. Has anyone ever received a prophetic word for one other person and given it? Yeah. Do you guys think it's really cool when you give a prophetic word and like you see their faces light up and it's like, God knows me. Ah. It's really cool. God, you guys will be surprised what God will actually say to you if you ask him. God said to me this incredible thing. He said it in March 2010, which was just after I started interning, which was a year and a half ago. He said to me, I'm going to raise up an idolless generation of lovers. If I'm an idolless person, what does that mean I am? Someone who doesn't... Idolless. Oh, that's clever. That's clever. Idolless as in without idol. What is someone who's without idol? So it's idol-less. What's an idol? An idol is anything you put in your heart above God. So an idolless generation of people would be a whole generation of people who have nothing above God in their hearts. Can you guys imagine how intense that is? The kind of like Smith Wigglesworth person. He had nothing in his heart above God, and he was willing to say no to everything else for the sake of having God. There's going to be a whole generation of people. There's a verse in the Bible which says, in the day of your power, your people will be volunteers, talking about God. basically means at the end times, people will love you so much they will volunteer their entire life to love you. So God basically gave me that word, and he basically said, have you guys ever heard the verse? I'm going to read a bit of it for you. You know the verse where it says, people will be lovers of this and lovers of that, and they'll do this and they'll do that. It's describing the nastiness of the end of the age. 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, and then skipping to 4 says this, but know this, in the last times, perilous times will come. For men will be, and then it says all kinds of things, but it says, for men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you guys see that that's the exact other way around of what God said he was going to do to me? He said, I'm going to raise up an idolous generation of lovers. After that, he said, let the loving and worshiping of pleasure be crushed under my feet, under the feet of my people. Isn't that pretty intense? So God, and that verse says, in the end times, most people, most of the world will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God, in the end times, and his people is going to do the exact other way around. He's going to make his people, people who are totally in love with him. So you guys, I believe you guys are a part of that. I believe you guys are a part of what God is doing in the world. And I believe that you are called to be someone who loves Jesus with all that you are, with all that your heart. I believe that that's your ultimate identity and your ultimate calling. In terms of what I was saying earlier about me having a pretty intense day, where I'm at right now in life, I am at just one of the hardest times I've had over the last couple of years in terms of my life and things I have to choose to do and things I have to trust God with. Put your hand up if you've ever trusted God with something. Put your hand up if you ever trusted God with a lot. It's me right now. I've got a lot to trust God with right now. I have preached this quick message about how important the first commandment is maybe 10 times, a lot of times. It takes on a whole new meaning when you're at a place in life where you actually have to live it out. I mean, I can say to you guys, or I can say of myself, I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all I am. This is all that I am. Everything that I am to love Jesus. I count everything else as loss. But I'm at the point right now where that actually, we're going to actually find out if that is true of me or not. The rubber is about to hit the road for me. I either am going to love Jesus with all that I am and trust him, or I'm not, and the rubber is going to hit the road. You guys will face points like that in your life, and I want to encourage you guys, give yourself to Jesus and all that you are, and pray for me that I'm able to do the same. So I'm going to pray really quickly right now, and if you guys feel in your heart right now that you want to make a new commitment to Jesus, or you want to say, Jesus, I want to take the first commandment seriously and make it my life, make loving you and being loved by you my everything, then pray that out yourself. And we're going to go into small groups just after that. But just pray with me now for a second. Jesus, I thank you for your heart for every person in this room. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I just choose to declare for myself and for everyone in this room and where I'm at right now in life and for where everyone here is at, that you are faithful, that you are good, that you will never leave us. And Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the strength of your love for us. Thank you that your heart burns with passion for every person in this room. And Jesus, I pray that we'd be able to be people who have nothing above you in our hearts. And I just choose to make that who I am. And I pray that everyone here would have the grace to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys. Leaders, if you guys know you are a small group leader, Ben, are you able to come and help organize the small groups? So we're going to split up just for like 15, 20 minutes into small groups and talk about where you guys are at, what you think about this, and we'll pray together, and it'll be good. So Ben knows who's leading which group. A cheer for Benjamin Kennedy.